prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello, my friends, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul, 9 July 2025. Welcome to this program. We'll bring up a guest in a minute that was on with us a few months ago. I'm not going to tell you his story. He'll tell us in a second what's going on and what happened with his story, so bear with us a minute. Before I go to our guest, though, don't forget tomorrow is Thursday. Everything goes the way of plan. We'll be in the office tomorrow between 9 and 4 Eastern to take phone calls. Maybe to chat a while or maybe pray with you or counsel if I need to. Whatever I can do, I'm here to do that tomorrow, folks. And, of course, Chris will be here to fill orders and take orders and donations, whatever. I hope you'll come and join us in the office tomorrow. I really do. You can call us tomorrow. If you don't have long distance, you can call toll-free at 800-777-4403. If you can call long distance, it will save us some money if you'll call us on our toll number, 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448. We'd love to hear from you, and I do mean that sincerely. So feel free to call. Update on prayer request. Thank you for your prayers for Phil Hudock last night, our producer. He's feeling much better today. Thank you. And for Don, our neighbor who had the heart attack, he came home last night. We stopped by and said hi to him, sat on his front porch and talked to him a while. He's very weak and unstable, but he's home. He's thankful for it. That's my brother, Dick. Dick is having a rough time of it, folks. We found out yesterday afternoon. He can't take a deep breath. He can hardly breathe deep enough to satisfy the has that needs a deep breath. His oxygen level's okay, but he can't breathe deep enough to feel like he's getting a breath. And here's the problem. He has shrunk 5 to 7 inches because of the 13 broken vertebrae he's back and all the other situations he's had. Still got pneumonia in his lungs. He's had a rough time over for 8 months, 9 months, really rough time. Went through hellish pain, and now he's having a hard time breathing. He spent a day and a half in the hospital. They couldn't do much for him. The doctor came in and told him because his chest cavity has shrunk, his lungs can't expand like they did. The left lung is actually folded over at the top. So he called this afternoon twice, asking for prayer. He's having a hard time, folks. He lives by himself, which makes it even rougher sometimes. So please, if you pray with us, we'll ask our Father in heaven to touch my brother, increase his lung capacity enough that he can at least breathe. That's the prayer I have right now for him. If you pray about that, I sure would appreciate that very much. I know that we ask a lot when it comes to prayer requests because I believe in prayer. And folks, if you have prayer requests, all you have to do is let us know. We'll be glad to put on the air for you. I have confidence in many people out there that listen to this broadcast every night, who get down on their knees before our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus and plead the blood of the Lamb and His grace and mercy for spiritual healing, mental healing, and physical healing. And if you need us to pray with you or for you, all you have to do is call. That's all you have to do. Give us your name. We'll put it on the air. Call tomorrow in the office. I'll pray with you right here in the office. I do that quite often on Thursdays. I'm only a minister, folks. I'm nothing special. You call and we'll talk, okay? Now, our guest tonight is Scott Sciarra. Now, if you remember, Scott was on with us some months ago. His daughter, just put it bluntly, was murdered in the hospital with a fake COVID scam. And I'm going to let Scott tell the rest of the story. I don't want to get ahead of him on this. It went to court and went into trial. I'm going to let him tell you what happened after that. But, folks, I want you to pay attention to this because I want you to understand that we live in a system that's corrupt, very corrupt. And our only hope is in Christ. Not much hope in the courts or the so-called law system today. But you just stay tuned. This is what Scott has to say. Scott, are you there?
Thanks for that introduction. Yeah, there is no hope in Satan's legal system. There's hope in God's law, and that comes by way of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as you said.
Amen.
We just got done with our battle in the legal system. God called us into that system, so we did it. Otherwise, if He would not have called us, we wouldn't have done it. But just to give people some context, our daughter, Grace, she was 19 years old. She had Down syndrome, and I was not awake to what was going on with COVID. I felt trapped to the fear instead of trusting God and took Grace to the hospital on October 6th of 2021. And the reason we took her was because we became mesmerized by her oxygen saturation level, and it had dropped to 88%. And the fact is if I would have never taken her to the hospital, she'd be alive today. I did take her to the hospital. They promised me I could stay with her, and they would only put her on oxygen and a steroid as a precautionary. And so I agreed to that, and ultimately they didn't do either one. I was taken out by an armed guard 3.5 days later. They decided to increase the oxygen level with mechanisms that they use, a Vapotherm and a BiPAP mask, and ultimately sedated Grace. She had an overdose from sedation on October 7th, her first day in the hospital. I did not know the meds they used, Butch, until I got the medical records. I didn't even know she had an overdose until I got the medical records. She had a second overdose on October 8th on the same medication, which is Presidex, and still did not know that. She was so bad on the 8th that they had to use resuscitation meds to revive her. Interestingly, again, I'm in the room with her, but I'm oblivious to this. They're just like, oh, they're working on Grace, and they don't tell me anything. And when it came time after I was taken out by an armed guard, we had to hire an attorney to get our daughter Jessica in to replace me. My wife Cindy couldn't do it at the time because she was very sick. And when we turned the page to Grace's last day on earth, which was October 13th of 2021, she now was given Presidex at a rate that was 40% higher than she had ever been given the entire 6 days prior. They combined it with lorazepam, which they increased to 50% higher than she'd ever been any day prior. And now she had a third overdose. And instead of recognizing the third overdose, the doctor gave her morphine, and that killed her. When it came time to revive Grace, it became the most egregious piece of that whole story, which was our daughter Jessica called Cindy and I on a FaceTime call, and she was panicking at this point, not knowing what they did to Grace. And we started screaming to save our daughter, and that's when we learned the doctor had put in do not resuscitate order on her chart, because they screamed back from outside the room, she's DNR.
I've got this question, Scott. I'd like to ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I know this is straightforward and maybe a little hard to answer, But was she intentionally murdered in your mind?
In my mind, was it intentional?
Yes.
So I'm going to answer that question with a little bit of a story. So if somebody in cold blood murders somebody, you know, that would be first-degree murder. What is it if somebody accidentally kills somebody drunk driving? What is it if they kill the same person, kills somebody two times, three times, four times, five times, six times, seven times, eight times? Now all of a sudden it's not an accident anymore, is it?
No, it isn't.
And this happened, what happened to Grace keeps happening today, and it happened during what we label now as the COVID era, that 39 months that was a complete lie. It happened to 1.2 million people during that time. So, I mean, you get a sense as to what I think about it. I mean, we filed a civil lawsuit, which is for negligence. You know, so that's a lot easier burden to prove. In fact, the burden of proof in a civil case like that is preponderance of the evidence, which means we only had to, you know, and if you picture the scale of justice, Butch, we had to provide one feather. And, you know, we plucked the whole goose. You know, we had a fantastic team, a better case, better experts, and we had the truth on our side. And still, the jury decided 11-1 against us, and they decided swiftly. It seemed that based on their questions coming back to the judge that it was a 15-minute decision. So, you know, it's still shocking to me, but it's not surprising because when you think about what is a jury, you know, they tell us it's a jury of our peers. Well, if it was a jury of my peers, we would have won. If that wasn't a jury of my peers, it was a jury of supposedly random citizens of Outagamie County, Wisconsin. And that jury, the one person who stood with us was, I believe, the oldest member of the jury. She would have been about my age, I think. I'm 62. And, you know, she's been kicked around like I've been kicked around. So, I mean, you look at life differently after you've been kicked around a bit. The rest of the jury outside of her, I would say the average age was in the early 30s. You know, so they all went to the public pool system. I presume that most of them were jabbed with the bioweapon. You know, so they trust the system. You know, so that's why the verdict is not surprising. You know, I don't know if you have the clip that I sent you, the MP3 clip of Dr. Burdine, our expert, but I mean, it's shocking when you hear our expert talk about what happened to Grace. Our expert, this was the first time he ever worked for a plaintiff. He's only worked in defense cases representing doctors who are charged with medical malpractice. This is the first plaintiff case he ever took on. And he took it on after reviewing Grace's records. He saw it was so egregious, he just had to do it. He said he was called. So he did not take one penny, Butch. I mean, that's shocking for somebody as an expert to not even take a penny. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, and I did watch that clip. Forgive me, I never thought about playing a program tonight, but basically, give us a synopsis of what he said.
Well, he said, first of all, that it's insane. He used the word insane that they would use Precedex after Grace had two overdose events. You know, she was in, and yeah, I'll give you a perspective of why he said insane. So the Precedex package insert, that's the rules they're supposed to follow, say that you're not supposed to use that drug for more than 24 hours. Well, on top of that, it has side effects. You know, that's why they have a package insert to list the side effects. And there's many side effects listed, and, you know, it's rare to have a side effect, but Grace had them. She had side effects the very first time they used it. And all I'm going to read off 12 side effects that Grace had that are in the package, that are in the medical records and or the trial testimony. So here they go. Number one, respiratory depression. Number two, hypoxia. Number three, agitation, which is their excuse for using Precedex. is to control agitation, and it has a side effect of agitation. Number four, acidosis. Number five, hypotension. Number six, fever. Number seven, blood pressure fluctuation. Number eight, anxiety. Number nine, delirium. Number 10, sepsis. Number 11, acute respiratory distress syndrome. And number 12, cardiac arrest. So Grace had all of those side effects, and they ignored them. And they ignored them a second time. And on the third time, which killed her, they decided to increase the dose 40% higher than it had ever happened before. So then furthermore, what Dr. Burdine said, because Grace's blood pressure in the medical records was undetectable at 6.09 p.m. And at 6.15, the doctor gave her morphine. He said, in the clip I sent you, he said that was the worst medical decision he's ever seen in 46 years of medical practice.
Yes, he did. And on the defense side, what excuse did they use for that? How did they explain all this away?
Well, so here's how they explain it. And I've got to give you kind of a broader brush so people understand what I'm talking about. There's this idea in the medical industrial complex called standards of care. So most people would be maybe familiar with that term, but they are not familiar with it in a lawsuit. So in a medical setting, for example, if you go in for a throat culture and you're diagnosed with strep, the standard of care would be to give you an antibiotic. Okay, so you know that fits the diagnosis. Well, then what's the standard of care for heart disease? Well, it's the statin. Well, now we're up a different level because, you know, the statin becomes this thing that reduces your cholesterol, but you're then buying into the lie about cholesterol. So the statin is not a good standard of care. It's actually a standard of care that causes heart attacks and causes Alzheimer's. Then you go, let's go to cancer. So the standard of care for cancer, again, you know, they're pulling the book off the shelf. What does it say? And most of the standard of cares for cancer have to do with chemotherapy, which has a 97.9% kill rate. So why these standards of care? Well, the standards of care are based on the idea that we've got to control medical costs. And so why do we have to control medical costs? So we go up the ladder. Well, we've got this satanic principle of collectivism. We don't have enough money. There's too many people on the planet. And so consequently, the people who are non-contributing members of society don't deserve medical care. So we've got these standards of care that we programmed everybody to buy into because they all have medical insurance and they all trust the white coat. And the people don't realize these standards of care are designed to kill them. That's, you know, hastening death is murder. All right, so that's my soapbox for the typical standard of care. Well, in a jury trial, the standard of care becomes what would a reasonable doctor do in a same or similar situation. So Dr. Burdine, of course, said that the standard of care requires the doctor to give informed consent regarding the meds that they gave Grace. The doctor is supposed to give informed consent regarding the overdose events. Their experts came in, so we had one doctor expert. They had five, so their five experts said no. When you're in a hospital setting, there's implied consent, so informed consent is not necessary. The jury believed the five experts compared to R1. Similarly, Dr. Burdine said regarding a DNR, a doctor needs to get the patient's signature. There needs to be a witness, and it can't be done without consent, and it can't be done without a DNR bracelet. There are five experts said, no, if you don't want to give a pre-authorization for a ventilator, that's the same as DNR, and the doctor can unilaterally place a DNR in a patient without consent, without a witness, without a signature, and without a DNR bracelet. So this becomes this thing where it's a variable idea based on what these experts testify to. And their experts were paid several hundred thousand dollars. Our expert got, as I said, he took nothing. But they believed the five experts compared to R1. So
what boils down to
this, anybody.
There is no standard. There is no standard. There's no set of rules that can be changed.
That's correct. It's whatever somebody will say on the stand.
what's the point in making rules then, right? I mean, that makes sense to me. But, you know, and I said this, and I'll say it now, we'll move on. I do believe one of the reasons that people did not make common sense judgment is they were scared, just like they were during COVID. They if they can't trust a white coach in a hospital, who do you trust? I mean, how do you know who put confidence in? If you can't trust a doctor to take care of you, your family, there's nothing left in society that you really put your trust into. And I think it's one of the reasons they were afraid to rule in your favor, because they thought that would undermine maybe their confidence in what they want to believe in. It would undermine one of their gods, so to speak. Go ahead.
I agree with that 100%. So, you know, when you zoom out and think, why did they rule this way? I mean, and why did they believe their experts over Dr. Burdine? Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But I was warned of this going into the trial, that it's very hard to change people's beliefs in a 3-week trial. You know, so first you'd have to break down the current belief they have, and then you got to build it back up with a new belief. And if they accept the new belief, that changes their entire life going forward. You know, so that is clearly one of the problems. I mean, the people are programmed. The other problem is a legal problem, in that before the trial, there's what's called pretrial hearings. And we had a pretrial hearing over 2 days, May 19th and 20th. And our legal team filed what's called motions in limine. The defense also did. And what motions in limine are designed to do is limit what testimony comes into the trial. So, of course, the testimony should have been just about what happened to Grace from October 6th through October 13th of 2021. And so we filed motions in limine to limit testimony to those things, not the research that I've done after Grace died, when I became awake to what's going on, the vaccine agenda, the COVID agenda, the standard of care model that I just got done explaining. I've done 4,000 hours of research, Butch. And so we did not want that in the trial. The judge ruled against us, and the defense was able to paint me successfully as a conspiracy theorist to the jury. So that certainly factored into it.
My goodness. You know, so the deck was more or less stacked against you, as it usually is. People that have a righteous claim and to uncover some kind of wickedness, the deck stacked against you from the judge right on down. And when you bring in a bunch of people that have been dumbed down through society and lies for so many years, it's hard to convince them different. As you said before we went on the program, the oldest one on the jury, I think you said, maybe said on the air, I don't remember, he said it ruled anew, he ruled your way, because he'd been in the world long enough to see what's going on, or she had. So that's what we're seeing. And I hate to say that, but the younger generation a lot of times does not have the experience to understand what's going on, and you don't have time to educate them in a few-hour trial.
Correct. Yeah, we did. I thought we did a great job doing the education, but I'm going to share a set of statistics with you to show this. So you're going to think that I've lost my mind when I share what I'm going to share with you for even doing this, but I knew this going in. So when God calls you to do something, I mean, you know, you better do it. So this is what I knew going into the trial. In Wisconsin annually, so this is going to be, you know, every state is going to have similar results. But I happen to have Wisconsin because there's an HBO documentary called Bleed Out that was done by Steve Burrows. Steve's mom was just about killed at a Wisconsin hospital, and he filed a medical malpractice lawsuit similar to me. And he put out this documentary, and the statistics I have are from that documentary. So annually in Wisconsin, there are 27,000 patients either injured or killed in medical facilities. Out of those 27,000, there's 22 lawsuits that go to trial. So it's less than 0.1%. So just wrap your head around
Wow.
that. Wow. You know, that's just such a extremely small number. So we're one of 22. And out of those 22, only 3 win for the plaintiff. And on top of that, the state statutes cap the winnings. And the most that we could have won, Butch, is $750,000. We had already said we're not taking the money, assuming we won, because we wanted the entire case to represent God and be above reproach. The out-of-pocket cost to us for the legal fees was over $1 million to do that.
Oh, my gosh. See, that's another detriment, I think, on purpose. Who can afford that normally? I mean, who in the world has that kind of money laying around to take something to court? They know we can't afford that. That's why they do these things, get by with them.
Correct. That's exactly right.
So, and I'm just going to ask a nosy question. How did you pay for all that?
Well, we had some money available because of what I had already set up for Grace. So that was a blessing. And to pay for it all, so we were able to do that through up before the trial. I had to borrow $80,000 to keep the legal bills up, and now through the trial, we'll end up, you know, praise God, we're debt free. So I mean, we got to put take out a mortgage to pay the, you know. So I'm doing that this week to get everybody paid off. So we'll have about $300,000 in debt when this is over.
Goodness gracious. Scott, I'm so sorry. I mean, it makes me angry, and it makes me feel helpless. I think that's the worst part of it. You get angry, and you can't do anything about it. That's the saddest part about it. So this was a civil suit. Can you do a criminal suit?
Well, essentially, we needed to. So a criminal suit, you know, a person can't do that. The district attorney has to take it on. And I'm going to quote something from the district attorney's office, because we did look into criminal early on, and then we pursued civil because we thought, well, we'll be able to set the table for criminal with the civil victory. And, you know, now that we lost, the criminal is off the table. I'm going to find this quote. So when you start seeing how deep this corruption is, you'd think that the district attorney's office would be interested in pursuing the truth. I mean, obviously, that's what they're supposed to do, right? That's what we've been programmed to believe. Well, that is that's that's not the case either. That is not the way it works. And even the coroner's office, which I wanted to just have the coroner's office look at the death certificate, because the death certificate said that Grace died of COVID. I knew she didn't die of COVID. I just said, can you just sit down with me? Can I come to your office and just sit down with me? And I'd like to talk about the death certificate. And he wouldn't even sit down with me. He said, there's a presumption of innocence when somebody dies in a hospital. So he wouldn't even sit down with me. He said, "Are the legal people who are in charge of what happens in the coroner's office advised against sitting down with me?" I said, "You can bring him to the table. I don't care. I'm not trying to hide anything. I'd just like to sit down with you." And they refused. Here's a letter. Wow. Yes, I found it while I was jabbering there.
All right, hang on through the break. Okay, I got to go to the break. Folks,
you got
the break, and you're hearing something here that. If this were your daughter, how would you feel about this? We got to stop thinking, well, that's sad for that person. We got to put ourselves in that person, that individual's place, to understand what they're going through best as possible. Phone lines open, 717-300-1698.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Nemana Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Nemana a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775, or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406 274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you. You can visit us, and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Herd. That's spelled H-U-R-D, 224 Herd Road, Netty, N-E. T-T-I-E, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Herd Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill.
All righty, folks, we're back. Before I forget, I don't do this often enough, but you heard the commercial just played from Melody Cedars from Discount Gold and Silver. And I don't mention this as much as I should, but if it weren't for her, we would not be on shortwave right now live. We wouldn't. So if you appreciate hearing this on shortwave all over the world, maybe at least call Melody and thank her for doing it. But if you can afford it, you need to prepare yourself financially. I promise you from a personal experience, this saved my son's life by doing this many years ago and helped me pay off my home 17 years earlier because I listened to people like Melody Cedarstrom. But call, and I'm not a wealthy man. I couldn't buy a fortune at one time. But give her a call. Let her know that you appreciate what she's doing, at least by paying for this shortwave, okay? I appreciate very much to do that because I want her to know that I don't take for granted what she does for this ministry. All right, let's go back to our guest, Scott Shearer. He's sharing his story, heartbreaking story of what happened to his daughter and what the medical profession did to kill his daughter. Go ahead.
So when we left for a break, Butch, I was getting into what did the district attorney say. So this is before we were involved with the civil case. We were approaching the district attorney's office with the idea of filing criminal charges. We had hired an attorney to do that, and he organized everything in a succinct letter so that the district attorney could at least consider the case. And the district attorney's office wrote back and said, and this is right from the letter, quote, a doctor is not required to administer treatment she or he believes is not medically effective. This includes authorizing a DNR. The parties clearly had a dispute about how Dr. Shokar should treat Grace. Dr. Shokar did not abide by the wishes of the family. However, there is no law in Wisconsin that requires him to do so. So that tells you where does the idea of justice fit in that system? And to be blunt, it doesn't fit at all. They nailed the King of Justice to the cross, and ever since that point in time, there is no justice. So we live in a beast system, and Satan has developed these different things to give us an illusion of justice, but it is not real justice. This case was never about justice. We filed the case because God called us into this legal mess that Satan has set up. We made the case about repentance, about accountability, and and as I told you in the first half of the program, we made a commitment to not take any of the money because we just wanted to shed God's light on evil, rebuke evil. And, I keep going on programs like this because, now what is our calling? I mean, our calling has been under Genesis 50:20, which says, what you meant for evil, God meant for good, the saving of many lives, which is happening today. Well, just getting that case to a jury trial, we're the first jury trial in the entire country with COVID-19 listed as the cause of death on the death certificate. So just getting to the trial was a miracle. Then the trial was live streamed. Millions of people saw the trial live streamed. That was a miracle. Then the trial got onto Joe Rogan's podcast, not with me as the guest, but with somebody else as a guest and brought it up. So it got hundreds of millions through Joe Rogan's podcast. So that's our calling, is to wake people up so that lives can be saved, both physically and spiritually. While we were on the break, I pulled up the clip from Dr. Burdine on my laptop.
Well, I want to say this also, and I say this out of love, but out of truth, payday's coming for that doctor. If not on this earth, it's coming in eternity. Without repentance and making this right before God and the people that he has caused harm to, his payday's coming. And he's going to wish to God, seriously, that he hadn't done what he done. And that's a fact. By the way, folks, I'm thinking of Monday night's program. We're going to have Mr. Pat Boone on. Now, some of y'all don't even remember who Pat Boone was. He was a teen idol back in the 50s, and he sung a lot of hit songs back then. We're going to have him on Monday night just more or less to reminisce about his life growing up in Hollywood and trying to raise his family in a Christian atmosphere in Hollywood. So don't miss Monday night. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, that's exciting. I know who Pat Boone is, so I'm one of the people in your audience.
Yeah, listen in. Yeah, listen in, Monday night. I think you'd enjoy it.
Oh, that sounds pretty neat. Well, because I couldn't do justice to Dr. Burdine's testimony, I found it on my laptop, and we talked over the break that we're going to make an attempt here. I'm going to put my phone on speakerphone so that your audience can hear this, because this is Dr. Burdine's words on the stand. So I'm going to just set this up. He was on the stand for several hours, and then when he had a chance to just wrap everything up for the jury, this is his final statement for the jury. We replayed this during our closing argument, so the jury got to see him live do it, and then we played this as a video clip during the closing arguments. This is very powerful, so I'm going to put this on speaker, Butch, so bear with me. Okay, so can you hear me?
We can hear you.
All right, here we go with Dr. Burdine's clip.
The number of the breaches of standard of care I identify in my reports are too numerous to count, but some of them stand out. One was the manner by which Father Cheryl was evicted from the hospital and its impact on the outcome in Gray Shara. And I found this to be shameful conduct on behalf of the hospital. The second issue were the breaches of standard of care related to informed consent. And I find it indefensible that this patient was given medications, very dangerous medications, not theoretically dangerous medications, but medications proved by the medical record to be dangerous to this patient without informed consent. The events on the 13th are very difficult to recognize. The repeated administration of Presidex on the 13th was not just a breach of the standard of care. It was insane. The administration of morphine on 10/13 to a patient who was unconscious, unresponsive, had lost her blood pressure, had no palpable pulse, and whose respiratory pattern was screaming to anybody who would look the administration of morphine in that situation is, or was, worst clinical decision I have ever witnessed in over 46 years of medical practice.
Wow. Wow.
Could you hear that okay?
Yes, we could. Yes, we could.
Yeah. That's powerful stuff.
Yes, it is. It truly is. It's shameful.
Yeah, it gives me...
It's shameful. It's a disgrace. There are no words to describe that. It makes me so angry that these people could buy with that. It just really goes all through me that these people could do this and get by with it. I don't want a word to say. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, I understand. I mean, I sat there, and when the verdict came down, it's like, I could hardly believe it. We didn't win one claim. So it, you know, immediately you start processing what the heck is going on. And, you know, and you and I talked about that in the first half of the show. You know, the message that I want to share with people is, you know, I'm going to start with Hosea 4:6 because it gives you the perspective that you need to have. So Hosea 4:6 is when God said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And, you know, that, I believe, is often misinterpreted. And so people end up chasing knowledge. In fact, they end up chasing the same knowledge that Satan tempted Eve with in the garden. So they end up getting knowledge of the world, satanic knowledge of the world, but that's not what God's talking about. He's talking about knowledge of his ways. And he never uses fear to control us. He wants us to trust him. And so what is his ways as it applies to what I learned in this lawsuit? Well, God gave us bodily autonomy. There's no exception to that. He gave us freedom. That means no one can do anything to you without your consent. And I'll just be blunt. If I knew this in October of 2021, Grace would be alive today. And the reason is because I fell trap to the satanic dialectic. Satan works in dialectics, and I'm going to explain that so that people understand where I'm coming from, and I'll finish this. So dialectics means he gives you two choices. One is evil, the other one's less evil. This follows the pattern in Revelation 13 where God
By the way, comic politics, both the lesser evils.
Go exactly. On. Yep, so the Democrats versus the Republicans. In the media, you have CNN versus Fox. So it's evil versus less evil. And, you know, God explains this is Satan's dual nature in Revelation 13, the Antichrist system and the false prophet system, the first beast, the second beast. So this dialectic pattern was told to us by God. You know, full-term abortion versus first-term abortion. You know, it's still murder, right? So that's right. The dialectic trap. Okay, so what is the dialectic trap that we fell for with informed consent? Well, we learned that in Grace's trial that the slippery slope is now to implied consent. Just by going into a hospital, you're giving implied consent. You know, not informed consent is that. Okay, so now you start fighting for informed consent. Well, that's the, so evil is the idea of implied consent. You're turning over your rights to the hospital. Informed consent is less evil. And why do I say that? It's because informed consent presumes the doctor is above your right and has to inform you to get your consent. And that's the slippery slope of the dialectic trap that Satan works in. So what am I recommending? What I'm recommending is you have to realize the freedom that God gave us for those who believe. And that means you can reclaim the ground that you lost. So what does it mean in terms of practical in a hospital? You start with being in the leadership position. You start with realizing these people are programmed in as part of the beast system. And so then you never give up your right to bodily autonomy. You start with the premise that you, doctor, can do nothing to me unless I give my express written consent.
So some related things that would challenge everybody to do once you come to grips with this is, okay, what things have I been programmed with? Well, I mean, we dropped our medical insurance years ago already. I mean, I would encourage everybody, drop your medical insurance because they're in on it. And if you're going to reclaim the ground that you lost, you've got to get your critical thinking back. God wants us to think through things, not ask the stupidest question you could ever ask when you're in that setting is, does my insurance cover it? Well, yeah, of course your insurance covers it because they're in on it. Then I would encourage you, second, to find a medical professional who does not accept Medicare or Medicaid. We have on Grace's website, ouramazinggrace.net, in the resource tab, we have links to medical professionals that are cash pay all over the country and they do not accept Medicare or Medicaid. Why? Because then they don't have to accept standards of care that are designed to hasten death. Of course, you should get your medical directives and power of attorney in place, but documents can't save your life. You can't legislate morality. You've got to take it back yourself and stand on what I'm telling you, the freedom that God gave you for bodily autonomy. And then last is work out the situation with an advocate who is awake that understands what I'm telling you right now. And that advocate, assuming you end up in a hospital, that advocate is committed to stay with you through the entire hospital stay and put themselves in your shoes and stand for your bodily autonomy. So, yeah, that's what I learned at the trial. I've been learning that for 3.5 years, but now I'm very solid. I used to, the trial taught me the principle, I guess you'd call it, it's not a godly principle, but the satanic principle of informed consent was meant to trap us. So then we'd fall into the slippery slope and we're into this debate between implied consent and informed consent. I'm telling you, throw it all out because it doesn't mean anything in God's economy.
Amen. Let's take a phone call. Let's talk to Chance right here in West Virginia. Chance, come on in. Welcome.
Hello, Pastor Butch. Hello, Mr. Sharer. I'm so sorry for your loss, sir. Pastor Butch.
Thank you, Chance.
Pastor Butch.
Yes.
This is somewhat related to the topic, okay? If you don't mind, there was a local obituary here, July 5th, in our newspaper. Now, I'm going to read you a couple of sentences. I'm not going to get into personal details about this gentleman. I'm just going to tell you how they described his death, and I want to know what both you guys think of this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He was 56 years old, all right? It says he went home to be with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on July 1st. He was taken to a hospice house, I'm not going to mention. After spending a week in CMC, I guess that's Charleston Area Medical Center, he apparently suffered a mystery illness, and the root cause has not been identified. He went into cardiac arrest last Tuesday night and passed away 6 days later with no diagnosis from his doctors. Now, what does that sound like to you?
Like a cover-up to me, but what do you think, Scott?
Yeah. See, something tells me this gentleman had the shot, and his survivors that put out this obituary are trying to maybe send out a hint or a clue. I've never seen an obituary written like this. And before I go any further, I'm going to say one other thing, please, if I may. My baby brother, almost 5 years ago, passed away at the same age, 56 years old. He had COVID. A week later, he had a heart attack, went to the hospital, and died that night. No cause of death listed on the death certificate and no autopsy. Now, what do you think about that death notice I just read to you about that gentleman here in West Virginia?
See, if they list the cause of death as a consequence of taking the COVID jab, then they're admitting responsibility, and it's never going to happen. I mean, there's so many deaths that have been a reason. When we see this in our neck of the woods here, somebody dies, and I pray that the family members realize it's because of the jab. We had one of our own clients, a 52-year-old dentist, died in his sleep. And, you know, I'm assuming he took the jab because he's a healthy guy. I mean, I know him. You know, so how does a healthy guy just die in his sleep at 52 years old? And, you know, so then, you know, they say, well, he died of a heart attack. So then the family starts doing all the things, you know, that the medical industrial establishment tells them to do relative to heart disease. So they probably all got on the statin versus realizing their dad, their brother, their husband died of taking the jab. So then they can wake up to the whole vaccination agenda. But, you know, they're, you know, this is in Revelation 18:23, God says that Mystery Babylon will deceive the world with its pharmakia. And boy, is it happening right now, like never before.
Well, it sounds to me like this family tried to get the word out, because I've never seen an obituary written like this. And it's ironic, this gentleman was the same age as my baby brother who passed away, also had a heart attack, but my brother didn't have the shot. He just had COVID for a week. A week later, he had the heart attack. But this gentleman that I read to you, Pastor Butch, can I give you the name of the newspaper and the date of the publication? Maybe you might want to check it out. You've never read an obituary like this in your life.
Well, yeah, I mean, you may well just, I'm not good at finding things like that. Why don't you make me a copy and send it to me? I'd like to see that.
Well, that's kind of rough for me to do. Okay. What I can do is I can call your office and give you the publication, the paper, the date. It was last week. It was a weekend paper for Greenbrier County, just below you. And Mr. Sheriff, a lot of strange things are going on. With your situation, with a lot of these things, it seems to me things are going to be coming to light very soon. When a family goes through the trouble to write this like this, it seems to me that they're trying to give a hint or a clue. They suspect the jab. I think this poor gentleman had the jab, could be. And I think they were trying to clue readers in. I could be wrong, but that's what it appears to me by the way I read it. Wouldn't you say so?
That's a possibility.
It seems like that. It just, because it's their own obituary, I think they didn't have to leave a clue. I think they could have just told the truth.
Well, I don't know. Legal consequences, maybe they thought. Who knows? I don't know. But it's an awful strange obituary, and he was only 56 years old, the same age as my baby brother was when he passed. Well, Mr. Sherrod, God bless you, and thank you for taking my call, Pastor Butch.
You're welcome, sir. Talk to you in office tomorrow. Folks, we're back. The phone line is open. It's 717-300-1698. I know there's very little we can add to say to Scott that's going to ease his pain right now. There's no way we can erase what happened. I know his wife is being tormented by this, I'm sure, grieving strongly. So is his other daughter, I'm sure, and the whole family. And there's no way we can really ease that except maybe give him a chance to air this to the people, so they may not be deceived so easily the next time. Folks, we got to get our eyes off man, a man's ideas, and trust in a man. Jeremiah 17:5 said, "Cursed be a man puts his trust in man that makes flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord." We got to quit trusting everything we hear on the TV set. Every time some medical professional like Fauci gets on there and says, "Well, you got to do this, got to walk, stay 6 foot apart." What a damnable lie. And the churches in this country and around the world, but I live in America, the church in this country as a whole, the churches shut down. They kept the strip jobs and beer joints and the ABC stores open, and they shut the churches down, and the churches went along with it as a whole. And once it did, of course, we were prosecuted and persecuted. We didn't close down. We had no consequences. But we just wrote to Governor Laird and told him he's not our boss. He doesn't run us. God does. But see, this makes me angry. So what we're doing tonight is trying, by God's grace and power and by his mercy, still on the radio after 33 years, to get the word out to people that this is happening. Get our eyes off Christ. And Scott's admitted it. He admitted it. He confessed. They trust in man. If he had his daughter, he'd still be alive today. And that's got to be pain beyond belief and to say that. And Scott, I'm already admit that. That has to take courage, because that has to hurt so deep, it's indescribable.
Well, thanks for that, Butch. I mean, God broke me, and you know, that's why I can do it. That's why we have a gospel. If we could just do it on our own, there'd be no need for the gospel. You know, you said a mouthful with the television, and you know, it's not just television; it's programming all over the place. I just looked up the hospital system that Grace died in was Ascension. So Ascension is, I'm just going to read their mission statement so people can see. This is the programming. So we read these things and we think, this is a great organization. So here we go.
Scott, let's try to squeeze in one more quick phone call, okay?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Let's go to Mark in Wisconsin. Mark, we ain't got about 1 minute. Got to hurry. Are you there? Are you there, Mark? I don't hear Mark. Is he there, Todd? We lost him. Mark, call back and hurry, please. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, I'm going to quickly, if Mark called back, interrupt me. So this is the mission statement for Ascension Hospital System. Rooted in the loving ministry of Jesus as healer, we commit ourselves to serving all persons with special attention to those who are poor and vulnerable. Our Catholic health ministry is dedicated to spiritually centered holistic care, which sustains and improves the health of individuals and communities. We are advocates for a compassionate and just society through our actions and our words. So what do you think of that, Butch?
Sounds beautiful, doesn't it? Sounds beautiful.
Sounds beautiful. Yeah, and just when your feet don't match your words, God has a word for that.
Yes, and what is that word?
Well, that's somebody who's lying.
It's called hypocrisy.
Exactly.
That's what it boils down to. We're down at the last minute and a half, Scott. What do you want to say in closing?
Well, I want to, whenever I get a chance to say the main message is this. And I've spent about 4,000 hours of research now, Butch, and I've come to the conclusion that we have systematically turned over our rights to the state. We rely on the state for our retirement through Social Security, for medical through Medicare and our medical insurance, and many, 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 many other ways. We rely on the state to take care of us through politics, through the tax system, through all kinds of things. God did not make us that way. And we were made to be free. And once you realize this and you're part of it, we all participated. And that was their secret weapon to get us to participate in our own demise. So we all participated. Either actively or tacitly, we participated. So what I believe the answer to all of this, it's not a new king, it's not a new HHS secretary. The answer to all of this is individual repentance, and that's what I stand on.
Amen. No man, no authority can save this nation but Jesus Christ himself. And that's the way it is. Scott Chiara, thank you so much. And anything else I can do to help you anytime, you feel free to call me, okay?
I will, Butch. Thank you. You've been a godsend to our family. Thanks for having me.
I'm just a servant as you are, and we'll do our best to stand beside each other. And God bless you. And please give your lovely wife a hug for us. Tell her she's in her prayers, and your daughter also, and the rest of the family too, please.
Thank you, Butch.
All right, talk to you soon. Folks, we're flat out of time here tonight. Hope to see you in the office tomorrow. I really do. Come and join us and talk to us tomorrow. Ask your prayer if you like to. Whatever we can do to help, please feel free to call. And do keep my brother in your prayers tonight. He isn't really suffering right now. I thank you for hearing the prayers, and God bless. Bye-bye.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE. csctalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.